You're listening to my radio at stanpelke.com. Welcome back. This is Stan Pelke, your host for this 10th podcast featuring the second half of Chapter 5 from my original novel, Project Earth, Dawn of Defiance. Please check back regularly for updates about release dates for upcoming podcasts. The next afternoon found Rendra again winding her way through the passageway, stepping carefully to avoid stomping on tender toes. She passed Elyema and Keldi, once more sitting cross-legged on the sparkling, clean, transparent floorway, sharing a CompuScreen as they checked and double-checked recent stress test data against the projections crafted by yesterday's neural network. "There's still a problem somewhere in the third subroutine," Keldi said quietly. "We'll find it," Elyema assured him, her eyes visibly scanning the display at amazing speeds. Yanfrey's careful study of the metadata, which he'd shared with Elyema and Keldi earlier that morning, must have settled Elyema's nerves. There was no hint of a conversation about delays or fears today. Rendra continued her slow, methodical, and graceful feet-avoiding procession down the passageway. Once more, she spotted Leviathan slip through the shadows at the very edge of the artificial illumination. "Leviathan's back again." Rendra turned to see Yanfrey at her side. "Report? Commander, we're ready to expend the next energy surge for passageway extension. All energy input readings are normal. All expenditure assumptions are in place. Compu predictions conclude that we can expect 94.7% success for growth rate targets and 95.9% efficiency in energy expenditures." "Excellent, Lieutenant," she said. "Prepare for passageway growth." "Aye, sir." Yanfrey spun quickly and began to pass the word down the hallway. Tiny feet were pulled closer to bodies as he hurried along, giving orders. A soft voice, emanating from the transparent surfaces all around them, began a slow, methodical countdown. As the final countdown approached, the passageway's illuminating orbs dimmed. Precise calculations were now locked into the master quantum computing and control systems. Data collectors and processors were spooled up. Once again, each member of the team rose in his or her place and leaned with shoulders or backs against the walls. Once more, Rendra watched the telltale signs in their eyes and the shapes of their mouths as cyber circuits fired up and their internal cranial wireless networks merged with the control systems and the master wireless network embedded in the passageway's living alloy. The lights dimmed further and began to pulse. Just as she did yesterday, Rendra glanced down the hall to where Yanfrey had linked into the system. His face was peaceful again, though the muscles in his shoulders and neck looked strained. Once again, strong feelings of attraction coursed through her. Now was not the time for such primitive emotional responses. She put all such ancient nonsense out of her mind and leaned into the environment and allowed the network in her skull to click to life. The sensation of convergence was never quite the same for Rendra, but the initial feeling in her body and mind was very unusual this time. There seemed to be a higher level of energy transference than she'd ever felt before, and the speed and the capacity of the network connection were also noticeably enhanced. As her personal consciousness began to fade, Rendra could feel a sustained tingling in her fingers and bare toes. Something seemed wrong. Rendra had definitely crossed the negative ego threshold, but her internal cyberchronometers confirmed that had occurred only minutes earlier, not hours ago, as it should have been if she were this self-aware again. "Is this right?" she whispered. "Is this right, Rendra?" That was certainly not right. Even at such an early stage of linkage, Rendra should neither have been able to distinctly hear one of the other team members' voices in her head, nor recognize its source. But there it was. She had heard Elyema ask the question to her via the network. "Elyema, how have you made this communication circuit, and directly to me?" "I'm not sure, Rendra, but immediately after I locked into the network, I could visualize a circuit configuration, like it was a hologram in front of me, and I knew it would allow me to talk to you. Is there anyone else inside this subroutine?" "I don't think so." There was a pause, and then Elyema continued, "I feel strange, very strange. My pulse is elevated, and analysis shows several of my neurotransmitters are significantly out of balance. Rendra, I'm really scared." Something was definitely wrong. Rendra found herself turning her head and looking out the passageway wall into the darkened ocean water. Leviathan was circling, nearer, nearer. She could see him in all of his massive, fleshly glory. During their 7 weeks working on the passageway, Leviathan had never come fully into the light. Yet, here he came. "Elyema, do you have access to external scanning subroutines?"
"No, Kaldi does."
"Can you sublink into his dedicated systems?"
"Yes, Rendra, easily. And I think I can now patch you into them as well."
Suddenly, Rendra was outside in the cold, dark water. Actually, she was not physically out in the water, but her sensory awareness had been projected outward into the water via the network and its scanning subroutines. As Leviathan turned and circled back toward her, she actually reached out a virtual hand and touched his side.
"That's a strange reading," Elyema
said as data from the virtual touch scan of the sea beast began to bounce through the system.
"Leviathan is emitting far stronger energy signals than his biomass would indicate was possible."
Rendra could sense other energy signals further off in the water as well.
"Elyema, can you extend the awareness projection and give me access to the external surface of the passageway across its entire length?"
"Yes, but that will require a security protocol."
"Fine, I'll take responsibility. Plug in my access code, 392-D.
Suddenly, Rendra could see, hear, and feel across miles upon miles of surface. The input data was almost overwhelming, even as the network took on most of the actual processing of sensory data. But the experience confirmed the barest of hints of what Rendra had first detected. There were other signals in the water, artificial signals, generated by machines, and they should definitely not have been there.
"We need to stop the experiment," she thought.
And then there was a sharp pain in Rendra's temple, and her sensory awareness snapped instantly and sharply back into her skull. She heard others in the passageway groan in pain. An unfamiliar feedback pulse had surged through the entire network. Several of the little ones actually screamed and began to cry. Kaldi collapsed to the floor. And then Leviathan swam right up to the outer wall of the passageway, not more than 10 feet away from Rendra's body. For an instant, she saw his primitive, ancient, horrible eyes. They saw her, and there was hate, malice, and predator desire beyond anything she had imagined possible.
"He's self-aware, emotionally engaged,"
Rendra whispered into the darkness around her. And then Leviathan opened his mouth, as if he would try to snap off the head of the child just below him, and the beastly body exploded.
"Disengage from the network!"
Rendra shrieked as the explosive blast rocked the passageway. As her real eyes adjusted to the dim-lit passageway, she saw that two of the small children nearest the point of the blast had fallen to the floor and were not moving.
"Yanfrey!"
"Commander,"
he said as he stumbled groggily to her side.
"Get everyone moving back up toward the source end of the passageway."
Elyema was suddenly beside her, anxiously touching her arm.
"Kaldi is dead,"
she said simply.
"That's not possible,"
Rendra replied as she hurried over to his inert body. But even in the faint light, it was clear he'd been electrocuted by the feedback pulse. Portions of his network-enhancing bodysuit had burned away at his shoulders, and the flesh revealed below was horribly burned.
"Don't look, Elyema,"
Rendra said, shielding the little girl's eyes, forgetting herself in that emotional moment that Elyema was not really a little girl. Rendra's first managerial instinct was to initiate a full autopsy scan, but she also knew that they needed to get out of there. Rendra rose, grabbed Elyema's tiny hand, and pulled her away.
"We must go. We shouldn't leave him like that,"
Elyema whispered as Rendra pulled her along. Yet another primitive emotional response.
Rendra and Alyema had barely gone 20 paces when they stumbled over another dead body further up the passageway.
"What is that?"
Alyema gasped, looking up. Above them there was a writhing mass of mini mech org creatures swarming along the exterior of the passageway. Rendra reached up and touched the portion of the passageway ceiling beneath them. It was hot to the touch. She looked back down the way they had come. Sure enough, there were two other such masses, including at the initial site of the blast.
"Yanfrey!" she yelled. "Move!"
"What is it?" Alyema repeated. "Cyber creatures of some sort, melting the material," she replied, pulling Alyema up the passageway.
"Impossible!" the little girl shouted, shaking her head. "The energy output would be staggering." "I'm sure it is. I could calculate it for you. It would only take a minute or two."
"Not now.
Where did they come from?"
"Leviathan was their host, until he blew up. And then another explosion at the far end of the passageway, and then a third high above them on the rock surface towering above the source, knocked them to the ground."
"We're under attack!"
one of the children screamed. The lights went out completely. Panic began to set in. The passageway was dark now, but for the soft illumination from the alloy and the strange reddish light emitted by the three mech org masses on the ceiling back down the passageway.
"We must do something to stop those,"
Yanfrey shouted above the noise of fear and despair as he pointed at the nearest mech org mass.
"Everyone, quiet!"
Rendra yelled.
You and you, prepare to network. We need to try to redirect structural integrity in those three sections of the ceiling before it's too late."
The three team members she had pointed to joined hands and closed their eyes, creating a micro-network to try to accomplish their charge.
"Yanfrey, take three team members and scout ahead."
"Yes, sir."
"The rest of you, remain quiet."
Rendra placed her right hand on the surface of the wall and closed her eyes. The network was still in place, but badly damaged. There were hints of some sort of software virus attacking minor subroutines. She tried to pull up exterior and interior sensory data, but could only get limited access. Alyema suddenly took her hand and joined her in the micro-network. The added mental boost allowed Rendra to gain access to the small stream of immediate sensor data from the damaged network in the passageway itself. From what she could tell, the mech org masses had melted halfway through the exterior structure at three critical points. The passageway's integrity at its source end was nevertheless secure, but it was under strain. Oddly, however, some sort of energy buffer had gone up, a kind of fail-safe subroutine that had deployed too soon. They would not be able to get out that way without assistance.
"I need more information," Rendra whispered.
She barely heard Alyema say,
"Saltira, hold my left hand."
The added mind in the micro-network allowed Rendra to push her awareness out further. Suddenly, Rendra had access to entire sections of the consortium's communications systems. If this were not the moment to break communication silence, then there would never be one. Her mind searched for the consortium's general military communications broadcasts. These systems were only functioning intermittently, and the emergency directives channel was completely down. Indeed, as it turned out, much of the broader consortium communications network was simply shattered. Another team member joined them and added another boost to her search for information. She pushed further into the communications network, past broadcast and digital networks, and toward older recording equipment and camera systems on the surface of the planet. She had more success now, but what that sudden access showed her was seemingly impossible. The vast and once thriving city on the shore above them had been reduced to slag and rubble. She slid through other physical cable lines and found similar results at six urban sites across 400 miles. Tears formed in her eyes. Finally, Rendra tried another tactic. She located an alternative communications channel, one that had been used by paramilitary rebels a century earlier and left long unattended. She now used it to hack into the unclassified military satellite systems. Even a few seconds of data showed what she had begun to fear. The entire planet had been attacked. A massive bombardment was still underway and moving off toward the Western Hemisphere. In the east, much of the Southern Hemisphere was already in ruins. Military installations in the Northern Hemisphere were fighting back, but analysis suggested that defenses would be overwhelmed within the next 15 minutes. Rendra could find no indication as to who was attacking her world. She pulled her hand free from the wall and doubled over in a sudden rush of primitive anger and grief. Yanfrey returned. "I don't understand," he said simply. "The energy barrier?" she asked as she attempted to regain her composure. Yanfrey nodded. "The whole planet's under attack," she said. She straightened up again and looked back down the passageway toward the strange reddish glow. "We need to stabilize life support and set up a distress signal while we still have energy reserves." Yanfrey had begun to collect himself, and he nodded. "Yes, sir. I'll organize a micro-network to work on life support systems." "My micro-network will work on the distress signal," Rendra replied. As Yanfrey turned away to prepare to gather a small work team, Rendra looked down at Alyema and squeezed her hand. "We'll be okay. I'm not going to let anything happen to you." But she barely believed herself. What could she do now but delay the inevitable? She had no idea if anyone or anything would be left of her world by the time the hour had ended. Rendra reached for the wall again and pulled up distress signal subsystems. Another child reached over and joined the group. Power amplified once more, her attention was drawn to a strange circuit in the network. "Activate that, Rendra," she heard Alyema say inside her head. They all felt the sudden surge of data as Rendra opened the circuit. Her awareness pushed outward as it had into the water only minutes ago, but now she found herself standing in a large circular room, windowless and quiet, but for the hum of computers. There was a woman there, and as she turned to face Rendra, the commander gasped. It was unmistakably her own prime matron, the woman who had raised her and her 8 genetic duplicates in the earliest years of their lives. But the prime matron had been dead for 3 years. "Mother?" Rendra whispered. The woman looked at her with surprise and anger.
"How have you connected to this subnetwork? You are not authorized to be in contact with this facility."
"Mother, help us, please," Rendra begged, her voice rising in pitch and volume. "We are under attack. I have lost all contact with the Consortium High Command. Please contact them for me and tell them to send reinforcements."
"What are you talking about? Who are you?"
"Mother, it's me, Rendra. Well, I mean, I am now Commander Rendra. I am the senior officer on the experimental work crew, Alpha X. I am stationed at Underwater Projection 15, Passageway 4. Please help us."
"I don't understand what you are talking about, but you must withdraw from this subnetwork. You are not authorized to even see this facility, and your signal is now interfering with a critical phase of my command routines. Desist immediately."
"Geldo Fentec Oxay. Geldo Fentec Oxay."
Rendra gasped again and pulled her hand free of the passageway wall. Alyema was looking up at her, tears in her eyes. "What's happening, Rendra?" "I have no idea," she replied. "I have no idea what's happening. Alyema, how far away did that interface take me?" Alyema closed her eyes for a moment, then sat down on the floor in shock.
"The data cannot be correct," Saltira said for the stunned Alyema, "but it indicates a distance of 27 light years."
"That's simply not possible," Rendra whispered. "There's no technology to make that possible," she yelled, her voice rising.
Geldo Fentec, Geldo Fentec Oxay. Geldo Fentec Oxay.
Geldo Fentec Oxay.
This was an original work of music and text by Stan Pelkey. Please note that any unauthorized broadcasting, public performance, copying, or re-recording of this program, its story, or its music is an infringement of copyright.